SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, Game Time Decisions, live right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh with you on a Thursday night with a lot going on. The Major League Baseball Board has been on and popping since early on this afternoon. The Dodgers got the job done against the Rockies, MLB play of the day style, with Will Smith RBI coming off of a home run. Shohei Ohtani is red hot, perfect timing with the Mookie absence. He is making his case for National League MVP even stronger. We have two baseball games remaining. We will be in the mix with both of those games. Some lineups getting set and a lot of good opportunities for those games. There's some WNBA action that needs to be discussed with the Liberty hosting the LA Sparks tonight. I'm on a side in that game. It's LA's first game since the Cameron Brink news was made official, in where she does unfortunately have a torn ACL, which should cost her the remainder of this rookie season. But we'll talk about that spot tonight and some of the other landscape stuff within the WNBA. And we also have some soccer. I know the Euros have finished up for the day. A lot of great results. But we have Copa America tonight. Argentina will take the field for the first time here against Canada. A lot of excitement on the network, certainly, for this game. I'm here to play spoiler with an under, plus 112 in Argentina, Canada. I understand the brilliance of Lionel Messi. Has everybody very excited about what Argentina can bring here? Ultimately, I still question this group overall. I think Canada's defense, while shaky, will be strong enough in this game to reel back the Argentina side. And all in all, I don't think Canada provides enough to make this an explosive game here in the opening match of Copa America. I do have an outright bet for this tournament. We will get to that later on. But the pressing items are breaking news throughout the NBA landscape, including a trade that just came down within the hour between the Chicago Bulls and the Oklahoma City Thunder. A straight up player-for-player swap, Alex Caruso to OKC with Josh Giddey going to Chicago. For the Bulls, Giddey is a young player that you now have an opportunity to give a lot of minutes, a lot of usage potentially as they look to rework some things in this franchise. I think this is another signal that you will see Zach LaVine out the door this offseason with the Bulls, perhaps DeMar DeRozan the same. The bigger takeaway, though, for me is on Alex Caruso, a perfect basketball player for OKC to add. If you tell me that Giddey is better, I'd listen. If you tell me that Giddey has more long-term value, you'd be spot on. But that is not important for Oklahoma City at this point. They have everything they need from a long-term outlook on that roster. They have the potential to win an NBA championship next season. They have one of the five best players in the world in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They need to continue to get better around SGA, and Caruso can help them do that. Provides excellent perimeter defense, some floor spacing, ball handling, chops enough. I love this move for OKC. We're a ways out. We crowned the NBA champion Monday night. I'm not putting a title future in now. I'm not going to do it. But when we're right here, okay, standing in front of this wall in October, do not be surprised if it's OKC for me to win that championship. Love everything about that group. They're going to be an interesting team in the Western Conference, the big team in the West, most popular team in the West. That still holds true. The Los Angeles Lakers have found their new head coach. The biggest news of the day coming from the Lakers making the decision to hire J.J. Redick. This song and dance went on and on. The irony that ultimately it was Woj who reported this is not lost on me. And this has been a very interesting road here as J.J. looked a bit obvious that he was going to become the head coach for the Lakers this offseason. And then there was a stall. I've already been here on this show talking about the fact that what I believe J.J. Redick can bring to the table for the Lakers. And then we had a pit stop of the Dan Hurley conversation. And if you are evaluating this move based on it's not Dan Hurley, I understand that, and it's entirely the Lakers' fault that you have that opportunity. But for me, I think this is an exciting move. I really like this hire, and it's the first time I feel that this Lakers organization has been willing to make a mistake. The Lakers have just been far too passive for a while now. When they made the move to trade for Russell Westbrook, absolutely spearheaded by LeBron, they made a mistake. And everything bottled up in this organization. They didn't get rid of Russ until it was too late because they were scared to make another mistake. When they were looking for a new head coach, when they brought in a safe assistant coach like Darvin Ham, they didn't want to make a mistake. When they refused to send out draft picks to get Kyrie Irving, they were scared to make a mistake. They were scared to lose out on 2027 draft capital. When they didn't make a trade this year at the deadline, they were scared to make a mistake, which is not the way this organization can operate if they want to win a championship while LeBron is on the roster. And believe me, that is what they want. And you can tell me that there were plenty of great assistants that were in the conversation for this job, and that's fine. But that would have been a decision with the Lakers playing it safe. J.J. Redick could be a home run hire. Sure, it could not work out. The fact everybody's calling him a podcaster is a little bit crazy. 14 NBA seasons, been in the spotlight for 20 years nearly, with all his time at Duke. The idea that J.J. Redick doesn't know the game isn't something anybody would dare utter. So what are we talking about here? As usual, it's people getting a little bit annoyed because they feel the decision has been influenced here by LeBron James. Well, we look at the numbers now for the Lakers. 40-1 to win the title, 20-1 to win the West. Anthony Davis is their lead MVP candidate at 120-1. Those numbers have not moved since JJ was hired. That's a good thing. It means the books believe that LeBron won't leave. And that is something they should think. You know, there are markets out there around minus 400, LeBron's team next year is the Lakers. Some people thinking this should be much stronger. There's a reason it isn't. Because the next step for the Lakers is the NBA draft, where they have to make a decision of whether or not Bronny James will be brought in to their building. Bronny is still favored to go to the Lakers plus 125, but new teams at the top here. Phoenix Suns, Minnesota Timberwolves, Dallas Mavericks, and the Toronto Raptors. Suns have been here. Minnesota, Dallas, and Toronto new. Teams mentioned by name by Bronny's agent Rich Paul as being interested in Bronny. Here is how this all lays out. I also, by the way, think that J.J. Redick, of all of the potential hires, is the best one for Bronny James and makes drafting Bronny the likeliest. I think that Dan Hurley wouldn't have wanted it to appear that Bronny, that LeBron was the lead voice and maybe would have wanted to steer clear. And I think the other coaches might have had some insecurity in allowing Bronny to be drafted and what message that would send. I think JJ comes with none of that. I think JJ will be excited to coach Bronny James. I really do believe that. So I think this makes this move even likelier. But if Bronny goes elsewhere, LeBron's departure could still happen. This is all somewhat clicked. But I do believe the main reason that Rich Paul continuously says LeBron is not simply going to go wherever Bronny goes is because then the dream scenario is likely out of their hands. Of LeBron and Bronny in L.A. If they promise you that Bronny equals LeBron, the San Antonio Spurs are not passing on LeBron twice, picking in that side, that top 10. It's not going to happen. The Lakers' dream scenario of keeping LeBron has one more step to be complete. A lot more basketball to talk here with you on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on Sports Grid Game Time Decisions. Coach James Young will be stopping by in a bit. We have a lot of NBA to get to. We might pick up the pieces with some other NBA items in a bit. But I think we keep it in L.A., and I think we talk a little Sparks Liberty. It's a big one that we have tonight in the WNBA as the New York Liberty are coming off of their third loss of the season. That loss at the hands of the Phoenix Mercury, who with Brittany Griner in their lineup, have been as good as any team in the W. No other qualifiers needed. They've been absolutely fantastic, 4-1 with BG in their lineup thus far. For the Sparks, they go now and play this Liberty team in a tough spot. This is a group that's 1-7 on the road and will be without Cameron Brink for the entirety of this game. Cameron Brink tore her ACL last time out for the Sparks. She only played 4 minutes in that game, but of course a tough blow for LA. But it's not all bad news, as I think what we have here is a spot of value, at least a spot I can't pass up. And the trends shine so favorably on LA, I almost wonder if it's too easy, but I am on the Sparks plus 14.5. The New York Liberty, off their third loss, have not covered off a loss yet this season, but there is something far more jarring than that. The New York Liberty are 6-1 straight up. At home, they are 1-6 against the spread at home. That is unimaginable. Listen, when you lay big numbers, it happens. Not every single number has been monstrous for New York. Plenty of them. But not every time is this a nail biter on the number. They played the Mystics in their last home game and won by 5 despite a very similar spread to tonight's 15.5. I look at this spot here where we have a Liberty group who have not won a single home game other than one by 15+. That was to the Indiana Fever. And I think the play is on LA. Sticking with the W quickly, because the other fallout from the Cameron Brink injury is an update to the Rookie of the Year market, which is strengthening the position of Caitlin Clark. Now, interestingly enough, so Brink entered the year with the second best price. I thought that was a mispriced. If you looked at the preseason workload, it felt like Angel Reese was actually going to be the real challenge. And Angel Reese is having herself a strong rookie season, averaging a double-double in 7 consecutive games, and actually played at noon today against the Dallas Wings and had an incredible 16-18 performance where she shot over 50% from the field for the first time in her career. She only has one other game where she was able to even touch that 50% mark. That has been the thing that has held back Angel Reese from big scoring performances, has been the efficiency. She is getting better in that category. Excuse me, it's her second time over 50%. There was another game where she actually shot at 8-10 against Connecticut. For Angel Reese, though, averaging that double-double, if Caitlin Clark suffered an injury, it's going to be Angel Reese by a lot. However, I still believe that is the only pathway for Angel Reese beating out Caitlin Clark, because now Reese's argument, double-double, great year, all there, she's not going to be able to say our team is better because the Fever have been able to figure it out. And I do not think she's going to be able to catch Clark statistically, who's averaging 16-6-6. I just do not see that on the board here for Angel Reese. So Caitlin Clark's chance to win Rookie of the Year continues to grow, as does Angel Reese's. I think very fittingly, they will be finishing 1-2 this year in Rookie of the Year. And again, on the Sparks tonight against the Liberty, catching 14.5 points. I did mention there was some other NBA news. Let me just quickly pick up the pieces. We will dive into this a little bit more with Coach James Young around the corner. On the other side, we'll talk some Travelers. And, of course, we will also break into some Major League Baseball with 2 games remaining on your baseball card. But other NBA headlines, Monty Williams fired by the Detroit Pistons. And if you're a Detroit Pistons fan, this is good news. It is not because Monty is a bad coach, which, by the way, it is fair to label Monty a bad coach. The Detroit Pistons were tricked. They were tricked by the fallout that came when Matt Ishbia and the Phoenix Suns fired Monty. When Ishbia made that decision to fire Monty Williams from Phoenix, many people said, oh, he's losing his mind. This is crazy. He's out of control. You can check the tape on Betting Above the Rim. To me, it was the right decision. I thought Monty Williams was atrocious for the Suns in that postseason, and the decision to fire him was fine. Well, I think Detroit, thinking, oh my goodness, we can't believe this guy's available. We have to turn everything around. Monty's the guy to do it. Had a friend in the front office who vouched for him, made a big decision to bring in Monty Williams. A decision that you would have thought would give Monty Williams a minimum of 3 years job security, if not more. The fact that the Detroit Pistons saw the issues and said, you know what? No salary cap implications. The money's already spent. We want to be better than this. Monty, you're fired, is a good sign for the Pistons. There are other decisions that have to be correct, but it shows that they are not just going to settle for awful, because that's what it was last year. It was awful. And I do think it is interesting, because some of the awfulness from Monty Williams, some wondered, was there an incentive to lose from the top? They made it clear this decision to fire Monty came from the top. So I think it was just a matter of Monty Williams being a bad head coach for the Detroit Pistons. They picked fifth overall. The favorite is Matas Buzelis to be that selection right now. Steph Castle, Cody Williams, and Dalton Connect, other top choices right now through the odds market. There's some other NBA draft updates we will get to later on in this show, but Baseball and the Travelers is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on Sports Grid. So the baseball board today has one game out there right now, which is Yankees-Orioles. The over cashed pretty early in this game by the third inning. You had over the 8.5 runs here. And again, the Yanks were favored in. Almost assuredly will be losing 12-5. Judge back in the lineup, 2-for-3, goes deep. But a great day overall for this offense from Baltimore. And a win here for the Orioles will see them up a game in the loss column on the New York Yankees. I was always taught to believe the loss column is what matters. So again, unless the Yankees, whose money line currently is locked and are catching 7.5 runs on the live spread, are going to come back and win this game, the Orioles are basically in first place. They'll be back by a half game, but again, they'll be up in the loss column. The Yankees are right now a minus 290 favorite to win the AL East. The Yankees have the shortest division lead in Major League Baseball. The Yankees have the most wins in Major League Baseball and are tied for the fewest losses entering today. I've made this point, though, on this show. Unfortunately for them, the Baltimore Orioles are absolutely incredible and are the second best team in the American League and are one of the five best teams in baseball. No debates about it. The Yankees' price to win the division a week ago was over minus 400. The number was a joke. It was horrendous. Now, I don't need to make additional investments in Baltimore as somebody whose preseason World Series pick was the O's. What I will tell you is their current 10-1 number right now in the market is very difficult to justify. The Yankees are plus 450. Show me the evidence that that is the gap between these teams. I haven't seen it. I just have not. And why are the Philadelphia Phillies 6-1 when the Dodgers are in front of them at +270? It just doesn't add up. If the Phillies can make that type of jump for having a phenomenal season, a great year, why would you still pull back on Baltimore? You can't say, well, it's because of the team in front of them. Oh, I know what it is. It's because this ridiculous Yankees to win the American League East number. Well, Baltimore's going to be a wild card team. Here's the other part of it, though. If that's true, who cares? I know there are some people who like to lie to themselves. Here's what we know. Let's not get into the debate today. The bye has helped no one. There's not a single team that has been helped by the bye. You want to debate whether it hurts them or not? We don't need to. We have not seen the bye be some major bump to these clubs. So really, for Baltimore, does winning the division even matter? No. So the number's wrong on the Baltimore Orioles. With the games that are left here, it's 14-5 now. I mean, good grief. Who just went deep? Austin Hayes. It's Gunnar Henderson, too, by the way. What a season he's having. 3-for-4 day, 3 runs scored. Nevertheless, Cardinals, Giants. So, look, some of the St. Louis guys that caught the attention here, Herrera, Nolan Arenado, not on the sheet today. Mason Wynn and Elliot Ramos. Ramos on the Giants side of it all. You could pair for a hitter prop parlay there at -135, I saw. If you have an odds boost, maybe try and bring that down. But I'm missing some key guys here. I'm not in love with this baseball game and may actually let it pass me by. Late night, though, there's plenty of juice here. Adam Azur goes for San Diego against Bryce Wilson for Milwaukee. And some of my early day thoughts were confirmed with conversations I had on Moneyline. Which, of course, airs on Sports Grid Radio, myself and Donnie Wrightside. When he said arguably the two worst pitchers threw his numbers on today's slate went head-to-head in this game between San Diego and Milwaukee, we are getting the San Diego lineup, but we're still waiting on the Milwaukee lineup. I can tell you guys that I've circled up for potential prop plays here, Bryce Turang, Christian Yelich for Milwaukee's side of it all, Jake Cronenworth, Jackson Merrill, and Louis Arise for San Diego. I know I said I would talk some travelers. Here's what you need to know. Tom Kibbs, the clubhouse leader at 8-under. Books don't care. Scotty Scheffler is in range, and that is all that matters to the books. We'll get into the travelers a little bit more here on this Thursday night, but Coach James Young will be in the mix when we come back from this commercial break on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back with you right here at Sports Grid. Game time decisions. It's a Thursday night. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Coach James Young. JY, appropriate timing. You know, Coach is going to be here tonight with us when... we thought some of the big topics would be Monty, Pascal getting paid, and some big action in the WNBA. Little did we know that there would be some additional breaking news. And we'll stick with the coaching game here, JY, as J.J. Redick has been hired by the Los Angeles Lakers as their next head coach, a 4-year deal. What is your reaction to finding out that J.J. Redick will be coaching the Lakers this coming season?
It's amazing Monty Williams gets fired and this thing got wrapped up in like 12 hours, right? Like, you know, Monty gets fired yesterday. They're kind of dragging their feet. They offer him the job today. And listen, at the end of the day, this is what LeBron wants. And the Lakers are hoping that they catch lightning in a bottle. Like, J.J. Redick, if you really, folks, if you really sit down and you listen to J.J. Redick, the dude knows ball, completely understands it. He's piped in today's game. Obviously, the three-point shot is so critical, Kevin, and we know what a great shooter J.J. Redick was in his career. It makes sense. You take a chance on the guy that can bridge the gap between LeBron now, AD, in the future. So to me, this now becomes the next part is, what do you do in regards to staff? Have you already been reported that J.J. Redick is already starting to reach out to people about building a staff? That becomes the next component of, who does he bring in? I would like, if I was a GM, if I'm Rob Pelinka, bring in somebody with head coaching experience. Someone that could sit the bench with you, that you could sit there and kind of run things by, and they could, kind of get things rolling. It's kind of where I thought it was good that like a guy like Terry Stotts was supposed to be with Adrian Griffin in Milwaukee. Like, get yourself some guys, especially if like you've never been on the NBA bench, right? They got to go get some guys that can work with them. But the way JJ is, the way he's piped in to the new player, right? He was always a smart player, right? If you think about Kevin, he wasn't a guy that relied on his athleticism. He was smart. That guy read screens. Like, I would say this. The only guy I would think about in the last 20 years, 25 years that could read a screen better than him was Rip. And Rip Hamilton made his money at the mid-range game. I think this is a really good hire. Now you got to surround them with a good staff and give JJ the chance to succeed.
So I think it's a great breakdown. But there is something you said that I want to hit on quickly. This is what LeBron wants. I think that would then suggest that LeBron told the Lakers, hire JJ Redick. And I don't think that's what happened. I'm going to try and make an analogy for people. Bear with me. But if you wanted to go out on a Friday night, right? And you got to find a way to get the missus to go, and her favorite food is hibachi, and you say, hey, want to go to hibachi Friday? She goes, all about hibachi. Love hibachi. I'm in on the hibachi. She did not force you to go to hibachi. You made a decision that you knew would be to the benefit to get what you want. The Lakers want LeBron to stay. JJ Redick is hibachi. It is very likely that they are going to now have a better chance to keep LeBron that they bought in JJ Redick. But I don't think it's a lock, coach, because there is still one more thing that needs to happen. And that's the landing spot of Bronny. If Bronny is a Laker, he's staying 1,000,000,000%. 1,000,000,000%. If Bronny goes anywhere else, I am not telling you that LeBron is definitely going to leave the Lakers, but it absolutely is on the board. It's not a guarantee, coach, but I still think where Bronny goes will factor into the LeBron decision.
Well, if you think about it, if you pull back up those odds, guys, can you pull those odds back up real quick? Well, ready, Kevin? Since that announcement of him going to the Lakers in regards to JJ Redick, Lakers are now even money on FanDuel for Bronny to go to the Lakers. So it's already moved the market 25 cents with the announcement. Listen, here's what I would look for if I'm the Lakers. I don't think, Kevin, you can use your first round pick to take Bronny. But you could package some of your players and 55 and move up late in the first round, the early second round, and go get Bronny. I just think there's some intriguing guys. What happens if someone like Devin Carter falls? Which it could possibly, because I thought Devin Carter was going to go probably somewhere like, I think it's 11 to Chicago, and we'll talk about the Chicago trade. They just got giddy, so maybe now, maybe not. But if they start looking at a guy like Devin Carter, he may not go 11, right? 12, I think it's Oklahoma City, won't go there. 13, well, maybe Oklahoma City may do it, but they just grabbed their wallets. 13 is, I think, the Kings. So now you're looking at someone like Devin Carter who would be perfect for the Lakers, maybe dropping down to them. So I do think if I'm the Lakers, I'm trying to move up, Kevin, to either the end of the first round, early second round, maybe trade some pieces away, go get Bronny. But you're right. And I want people to understand this. I'm not saying this is all LeBron, because there's a guy named Anthony Davis that's still on the roster. That's owed a lot of money. And eventually, Kevin, at some point, this has got to be AD's team. This is a guy, JJ Redick, that can bridge the now to the future. I think that is very important that people need to realize that.
So, I'm sorry, I can't help myself. The similarities between Devin Carter and Jalen Hood-Schifino are just, come on, again, like, how did they draft someone last year in the same spot and nobody acts like he's on the roster? I only bring that up to say the idea that taking Bronny at 17 would be this massive disgrace that everybody would, not the coach says it is, but everybody else would. They literally took a guy last year in Jalen Hood-Schifino that nobody remembers is on that basketball team. That's why I think, though, to kind of what Coach is talking about here, why Rich Paul keeps openly talking about all these teams that are interested in Bronny, but also keeping it to a select group. The dream is LeBron, Bronny, Lakers, right? So they're putting enough pressure on the Lakers that, hey, pick 31, Raptors are interested, pick 38, right? We got the Timberwolves interested, pick 22, Phoenix interested, don't mess this around, don't mess about. But if Rich Paul comes out and goes, if you draft Bronny, you get LeBron, guess what's going to happen? He's going to go to the Spurs. The Spurs aren't passing on Bronny twice in the top 10. So that's where this becomes a very interesting thing. I'll ask you this quickly, Coach, because I know that both you and I are on this same bet. Today's news makes you more confident, less confident, or the same in the under 39.5 draft position bet on Bronny James?
More confident. More confident. Listen, someone's going to – it's amazing what Rich Paul is doing. Kevin, I want people to think about this way. I think it's extremely smart. If you think that there are warts to Bronny's game, the best way to make his draft stock stay high, don't work out. Now you could create...
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Fabricated and artificial interest in Bronny. So I think he's going under. I'm locked in on it. Kevin, it's at 40.5 on FanDuel. I may double down and take it again.
Yeah, it has moved in direction. A lot more to hit with the year on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Game Time Decisions. I have some more draft information I want to hit with Coach, but before we do that, JYW action tonight. We have the Sparks playing their first game since the Cameron Brink injury. She only played about 4 minutes against the Sun, but since it became official that she's out with a torn ACL, they go to New York and play the Liberty. Do you like anything in this game tonight?
I'm going to take the Liberty first half minus 8.5 points. I think I'm nervous about the backdoor cover here, Kevin. Cameron Brink was one of their best defenders. Did a pretty good job with Derica Hamby in regards to kind of being that 1-2 punch here. I also think if you want to look at a prop, I would look at Jonquel Jones over 8.5 rebounds. She should be able to have her way inside as Hamby maybe more dealing with Stewie. I think Jonquel can get busy over 8.5 rebounds. I think it's near even money if you want to go crazy and maybe look for a double J double-double as a possibility. She's been playing really good ball. I think you'll get the Liberty in a really angry mood after that loss at Phoenix a couple of days ago. Then obviously we saw the injury with Brink, which honestly, Kevin, as a coach of females, as soon as she went down, I knew that was an ACL tear. You could tell how she fell. Hopefully she gets back soon. She was part of the USA 3-on-3 national team. But for the game, give me Liberty minus 8.5 first half. And if you want to, Jonquel Jones over 8.5 rebounds, even money. And if you want to go crazy, Jonquel Jones double-double tonight.
And the New York Liberty, JY, because I talked a little bit about the Sparks, the rookies. The Liberty, though, some betting news around them. Co-favorites over on FanDuel at plus 165 with the Vegas Aces. Now, to win the WNBA championship, what do you think about the Liberty's move that we've now seen from the books here?
Well, Well, they played better, but I think what the one thing you want to look at is Vegas Aces just got Chelsea Gray back last night. Listen, K-Dub, she only played, I think, 16 or so minutes, only took two shots. Kevin, 7 assists, 8 assists, and a limited amount of action. Chelsea Gray is the engine that kind of gets them going. What it allows them to do is allows Jackie Young to kind of slide to more of her natural two-guard position. So maybe look at Jackie Young props. I think she went off for 32 last night. They're going to start to play better than Vegas Aces. I don't think, if you like Vegas, Kevin, I don't know if you get them at a better number than right now, because I think you're going to see a team like Vegas really start to take off here. Obviously, looking at the record, they're only 7-6. But there's a situation where they can start to get going a little bit now that Chelsea Gray is back. Remember, they all took the time off for the Olympic break. July 16th is their last game. But you think about the next couple of games that they have in regards really quick. Connecticut, big game tomorrow night, right? Chicago, Washington, Indiana, Washington, L.A., Dallas, Seattle, Atlanta, Washington, Chicago before the Olympic break. The Aces can go on a big run, Kevin. Not a big, a lot of heavyweights on that schedule coming up.
There's definitely not. I think, I just don't, even if they rip off 8 wins in a row, they're, what are they going to go to? Even money, minus 110. That's the only thing, Jay Wise. I'm just not racing to bet their title odds right now. But I think it's fair to say, I think it's interesting that the books have certainly been swayed, though, by some of these New York Liberty performances. I will say their loss to the Phoenix Mercury is not as much about Liberty concern as much as Phoenix with Brittany Griner have been as good as any team in the WNBA this season. Mm-hmm. Full stop. So I think that's one of the interesting pieces there. Let me ask you one other quick item, Coach. Angel Reese with one of her best games as a pro this afternoon is a noon tip in Chicago. I'm not sure what led to the start time there. 16 points and a career high 18 rebounds. Efficient work as well. 7 of 13 from the floor. Any thoughts on Angel and potentially having a chance to win Rookie of the Year? Because Cameron Brink was seen as the third potential challenger. And, of course, she is no longer in the race. It's really just Caitlin Clark against Angel Reese.
Well, it's interesting, Kato, because if you look at what's happened right there, it was Caitlin Clark minus 4,000, Angel Reese plus 1,400. Kevin, just in the last couple of hours, Caitlin Clark is now minus 3,000, Angel Reese is 10-1. So it's already moved for $400 in regards to $4 for Angel. Listen, at the end of the day, I still think it's going to be Caitlin Clark. But here's the thing, Kevin, you know ball like I do. It's simply put, and you've said this also, if Angel Reese can finish her offensive rebounds and her post-ups, you're going to see a major uptick in points. All of her shots keyed up are around the lane. There's putbacks, like I said, and post-ups. I don't think she's going strong enough. I think she's trying so much to get the foul call. If she puts that ball on that outside shoulder and goes up strong and puts that inside shoulder into him a little bit, I think you'll see double-doubles all day for Angel Reese, K-Dub, because she's always going to have the shot attempts. It's can she make the layups and the post-ups?
Yeah, she is up to 12 points per game now and averaging that double-double. It's impressive for Angel. You know, somebody, again, who took that chance on her to average 15 a game. I don't know if she can make up for the lack of efficiency early season. Again, you're dealing with a much shorter window here in the WNBA season. I think that's one thing to keep in mind. While I know it doesn't look like the Chicago Sky have played a ton of games, but they've played 14 out of 40, right? We're not talking 14 out of 82. So you're kind of at the halfway point here. You're closer to the halfway point, right, than the open of the season. So it's just something to kind of keep in mind as it pertains to the WNBA. Coach, let me get this in quickly because we have some other items that we have to hit here. Well, the Pistons' decision to fire Monty Williams. And then we'll kind of carry this into some other draft conversations. This team has the fifth pick. What did you think about the Pistons letting go of Monty?
Why? Like, why now? Like, that's the part Kevin Allen has said. It's not like you hired Trajan Langdon yesterday or the day before. You hired Trajan Langdon, right? You hired him, Kevin, if I'm not mistaken, a month ago. So now you wait till 1 week till the draft to go ahead. And then, of course, it's interesting. Like, he gets fired. There's rumors that they may like J.J. Redick. wrapped up. So to me, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Detroit. Let's say K-Dub, Thompson, Doran, Ivy, Cade, number five pick, money for, you know, that they can use it for agency. It's an attractive job, but I think this is a bad look by the Pistons. Who's going to want to take that job?
Well, I mean, if you get to come in, have 1 year of work, and then get $60 million, it might be the most attractive job in sports. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to your Game Time Decisions. Just talking a little bit about Monty and the Pistons' decision ultimately to move on from him. What I said, look, my piece at the top, I think it's a fine move. He's not a good head coach at this point. And if you're the Pistons, why double down? I think it's important, though, for the Pistons to continue to be open to everything. And that means take phone calls on every player on that roster and the fifth pick. I'm high on Cade Cunningham. I think Jaden Ivey looked much better down the second half. I'm high on Assert Thompson. They have good pieces in the room. I'm taking phone calls on everything. I just want to see what's out there. Nothing is off the board. Let me tell you this, okay? There's a world, and we're about to get into this. Donovan Klingon could fall to five. It's on the board. Teams will be ringing their phone immediately. If you're the Pistons, you better be listening. Don't be like, oh, perfect, we stole Klingon. Just listen to everything if you were Detroit. But Donovan Klingon also may go first overall. Coach, you've been talking a lot about Richier going first. Well, he is now the favorite for that to happen. One of the big things that has led to this is Alex Sarr looks like he's not going to give the Hawks a workout. I have a theory as to why, but what do you make of this current situation with the Hawks and Richier potentially going first?
I thought I liked Richier going first the whole time around because I just thought when I heard Evan Sidery talk about the fact that DeAndre Hunter was going to possibly be moved, DeAndre Hunter, one of the better 3-and-D guys who can't stay healthy, when a reasonable contract came up, I'm going to be honest with you, I think that's a guy that can fetch something for Atlanta. So to me, if you look at the news that's coming out today, it's either going to be Richier or Donovan Klingon at that one spot, partially because Sarr either doesn't want to work out for Atlanta or can't work out for Atlanta. Either way, I was never sold on Sarr being a number one pick. I liked Richier. I took him at when it was plus 425 to be number one pick. Now he's minus money. I think he's going to continue to be minus money. I would be looking to make that move. If somehow we find that Klingon is going to go one, Richier is going to go two. It's not going to be Sarr. The Wizards are not going to allow Richier go past that number one spot. So kind of think about that. If you start to feel like it's going to be Klingon, I would just go Klingon one, and then two, I would go ahead and I would take Richier, and then three, I would just go Sarr one, two, three, and just try to predict that order with the draft. You're probably going to make yourself a lot of plus money.
So as far as the Sarr workout thing, now, it's not been confirmed that he 100% will not give them a workout, and they have not necessarily said why. But I've been trying to figure out why. Because the team picking second is the Wizards. So respectfully, this is not like Atlanta's ran terribly, there's no way I'm going there. Here's the only thing I could figure out. Quinn Snyder's the head coach. And there are some people who believe that Quinn Snyder as a coach is somewhat to blame for Rudy Gobert being played off the court in the playoffs while he was in Utah. Alex Sarr's potential as a draft prospect weighs heavier on what he can do defensively as a French national. If you were potentially going to go first overall, I'd reach out to Rudy Gobert and ask him about Snyder. Maybe I'm off base. It's speculation. It's one of the only things that could make any sense to me why someone would be unwilling to go to Atlanta, but willing to go to Washington. The other thing, though, about this all is, and here's why I'd be careful with the Richier stuff for me, Coach. If you're Atlanta and you think Alex Sarr is the best player in this draft, but he refuses to give you a workout, I then am probably not drafting Sarr. I'm also not drafting, ideally, and I'm trading the pick. They don't need to start their rebuild with a guy who doesn't want to be there. They already have that in Trae Young. So I'd rather trade out, coach, if they think Sarr's the best player in the class and he refuses to give them a workout.
And if you look at that, Kevin, the team I'm looking at is maybe Houston trying to jump to one. But if Houston jumps to one, who fits them better? Do you take Sarr and move Şengün to the power forward spot and play big boy ball and then try to move Jabari to the three? Or do you take Richey and get him to be your small forward? It's very intriguing. Kevin, we're going to have so much fun Wednesday and Thursday with the draft because not only do I think there's going to be a lot of trades in regards to picks, I think players are going to get moved. It's going to be a wild, wild draft because there isn't that home run player there.
I think it'll be very interesting to watch all of this develop, and Coach and I will certainly be live along with Ben Stephens for NBA draft coverage here on the network. We'll talk some baseball next with Joe Maddon.